Well, we welcome you back this evening. So grateful that you're here. You're in for a real treat. Let me say welcome if you're our guest. We're glad you've come this evening. If you came because you knew there were going to be baptisms and testimonies, you came to support someone who's giving their testimony, thank you so much for coming. I know you'll be a great encouragement to them. If you came not knowing this was going to happen, expecting a normal Sunday evening service, you're in for a real treat. This is one of my favorite things at our church, and I know you're going to be encouraged as you hear those who will share their testimonies. Before they come, let me just make sure we're clear on what baptism is and isn't. Baptism doesn't produce any change in the human soul. It merely celebrates the change that has already occurred. It's a visible sign of an internal reality that already happened. We are saved through the work of Christ alone and nothing that we do, including baptism. I read this morning for our scripture reading from Romans chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that no work will ever make us right with God. In fact, what God has commanded of us only makes us guilty because we have failed to keep his law. We have failed to respond to what he has commanded. We haven't loved him as he's commanded. We haven't loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have failed every moment of our lives. So there's no way we ever earn our way into heaven or into his favor. Instead, the Apostle Paul says, here's the gospel I preach to you, that we are justified. We are declared right with God. God makes that declaration. And here's how he puts it. I love this in Romans 3. He says, as a gift. We are declared to be right with God. He declares us to be right with him as a gift by his grace. And how can he do that? How can he declare us who are sinners righteous? It's because he accepts the work of his son. He goes on to say in that passage, we are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, through his work to buy us back. And the next verse explains exactly what that work was. Paul writes, God publicly displayed Jesus on the cross as a propitiation. It's a big word. It's not a word we use much today, but it's a clear-cut biblical word. And what it means is that on the cross, God satisfied his justice against our sins by punishing Jesus. That's the word propitiation. God publicly displayed Jesus on the cross as the propitiation, the satisfaction of his justice and wrath against our sins by punishing Jesus for the sins of all who would ever believe in him. And that's the basis on which we can be declared right with God. It's not our own efforts, not our own works, nothing we have done, and certainly not baptism. Baptism merely reflects the fact that we have already been justified. We have already come to trust in Christ. It's a picture of what happened to us at the moment we believed. Our old self died, and I put them under the water. It's a picture of their old self being buried. And I bring them up out of the water. It's a picture that they have now in Christ risen to new life. So this is an amazing ceremony. It's an amazing ordinance that our Lord gave us, but it is a visible picture of a spiritual reality that has already occurred. You're going to hear about that spiritual reality as each of them share their testimony tonight, and then you will see that reality pictured in the waters of baptism. I hope you'll pray for each of them as they come to share their testimonies with us this evening.
My name is Addie Allen. I've grown up in a Christian family my whole life with parents who always taught my siblings and I the gospel. Although I attended church every week and knew the gospel, I never truly understood the truths being taught. I pretended to be a good person who loved Jesus, but the reality was I was an unbelieving sinner enslaved to my sins. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I only went to church to hang out with friends, only read the Bible because it's what everyone else was doing, and was only kind to others because it made me feel good about myself. Foolishly, I always told myself I would just become a Christian when I was older. I was selfish, disrespectful, and had no desire to please God or obey him. Pridefully, I thought I wasn't as bad as other sinners and that I was a good person. The truth was, I was a wretched sinner who hated God, loved my sin, and could never achieve the perfection God demands of us. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Just as this verse says, I was dead in my sin. I would be headed straight for hell if not for God's amazing work in my life. It was in the beginning of eighth grade that God graciously saved me and opened my eyes to see the truth of the gospel and the seriousness of my sin. I was at a middle school camp with our youth group here at Countryside. During one of our small group meetings, we all had a sheet of paper that we were supposed to fill out with our testimonies and then share with the others in our group. After spending a lot of time thinking about it, I realized that I could not truthfully write down anything on the paper. This caused me to think seriously about the fact that I was not a Christian and had never put my faith in Christ or repented of my sins. I was lost and had no hope for salvation. I was, as Ephesians 2:12 says, separate from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. After the camp, I spent the next couple days thinking about this, and the Holy Spirit began softening my heart to the truth. I knew I wasn't a Christian, but I still didn't fully understand the weight of my sin and was confused why I hadn't been saved. But then one night, when I had been awake thinking about these truths, I remember praying and asking God to open my eyes. In his great love and mercy, he did. God revealed to me my depraved condition and the truth that all I had to bring before him was my sin. I could never be good on my own, and my good works meant nothing. I was a wretched sinner in need of forgiveness. My only hope of righteousness was putting my faith in Christ, who loved me and gave himself up for me by dying on the cross and taking the punishment of my sin. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." I called out to God for forgiveness of my sins, confessing him as Lord and Savior of my life. At that moment, I was forgiven. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I was overwhelmed with God's love and mercy for me, an undeserving sinner. I had done nothing to earn salvation, and I could never do anything to earn his favor. He saved me because of his amazing grace and love. As Titus 3:5 states, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. By God's grace, I am now filled with the Holy Spirit and a new person in Christ. My sinful flesh has been transformed through his death. Romans 2:12 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The Holy Spirit is working within me, giving me new desires to obey God and hate my sin. I now have a love for reading the Bible to learn more about God and grow in my faith. I have new desires to serve the church and to strive to honor and glorify God in all I do, all because of the kindness of God. Ephesians 6:13 says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I am nowhere close to perfect, but I strive to grow in my faith each day by being in the Word, praying, and constantly confessing and repenting of my sins. Without Christ, I would be nothing, but he is merciful to save sinners like me. I am amazed by the fact that God loved wretched sinners who hated him so much that he would give up his only son for us. And not only am I now a Christian, but the God of the universe calls me his child. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Although I often fail to obey, I am reminded by the truth that God is always faithful to forgive. He will never leave me or forsake me, and nothing can ever separate me from his love. And as a public declaration of my faith in him, that is why I am here to be baptized.
Well, Addie, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. Because you are no longer without hope and without Christ, but now you know God as Father because you have repented of your sins and believed in Jesus Christ. It is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Elsa Grubin. I was adopted into a loving Christian home with six brothers and sisters. When I was just a newborn, I have been attending church and having family worship my whole life. I don't remember ever not knowing about Jesus, but it wasn't until the age of 9 that I talked to my dad about what it meant to be a Christian, and he shared the gospel with me. It was then that I believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he died for my sins in my place and rose again, and that I knew that he would return for those of us who love him. I prayed, repented of my sins, and asked God to forgive me. A couple of months later, both my twin brother and I went to talk to our elders and tell them about our new profession of faith. They had us articulate what we believed and asked us to explain the gospel. Soon after, we made a public profession of faith and began taking the Lord's Supper. Since I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit has begun to convict me when I sin. I feel the guilt of my sin and the need to pray and to ask forgiveness from God and others. I want to do what pleases God in righteousness through his word. One example of this comes from a youth lesson in which Pastor Justin asked, "Why do you want to go to heaven?" That question would play in my head over and over again. Do I want to go to heaven to escape hell or to be with the Lord? Soon after that, I remember hearing a song by Phil Wickham called Homesick for Heaven. Some of the words are, "I want to dance with David before your throne to thank you face to face for the grace you've given." After hearing that song, I knew why I wanted to go to heaven. I had never thought about it like that. That realization helped me to truly long for home. It helped me understand that this is not our home. Then I really knew I was, as a Christian, the more I grow in Christ, the more I just want to be with the Lord. It wasn't just about escaping punishment, but it became more about being with Christ. The Bible tells us of God's free gift of eternal life in Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Another way God continues to grow me in Christ is by my dad's continued instruction in my life. In times when I began to question my understanding of faith and if I was really saved, my father continued to share the gospel with me and guide me back to scripture. I remember asking him, "How do you know you're a Christian?" He said, "If you believe in God that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, as John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you believe that he died for your sins, repent and ask him to be your Savior and Lord, then you are a Christian." And then I asked, "How do you believe in something you can't see?" Dad said, "Evidence. Do you show a changed life? Do you desire the things of God? Have you put to death the desires of flesh?" God continues my dad in growing me in my faith and my understanding of scripture, reminding me that while true faith precedes a changed life, it is never the works themselves that bring about saving faith. We cannot get to heaven by works, as Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Instead, Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." I know that I am a Christian because I believe in Jesus as the Son of God and have repented of my sin and asked him to be my Savior and Lord. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day. We must all repent of our sin and ask Jesus to cover it with his blood. If God were to ask me why he should let me into his heaven, my answer is by Jesus' death alone, not anything that I have done. I repented of my sin, and Jesus covered me and washed my sin away with his blood. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us we can't go to heaven by our good works, but only through Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Elsa, because you have abandoned all hope in yourself of being right with God, of making heaven, and because you put your hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening, Countryside. My name is Daryl Penley. I have come to be baptized today and consider it a great honor. My life before Christ was very worldly and self-centered, just as the scripture says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is true for me. I was a lover of self, money, career, materialism, and the world system that I was falling under. As I walked through life, I used to think that Christ was my good luck charm. I learned this through listening to other people tell me how great I was. I thought, I have so much good in me by my own standards that Christ must be happy with me. I felt like I was in a good spot. Only to my own demise was my condition bad. Thus, I continued to depend on my own self-sufficiency and not Christ. During a summer a few years back, it became apparent the Lord was laying on my heart deep thoughts about my condition. I wrestled with constant thoughts that would arrive in my mind and not leave no matter what I tried to do to get them to be ignored. Who is really in charge? I asked myself. This conviction came over and over and over, and finally it captivated me enough through the Holy Spirit that I started reading my word. And in Romans 3:10 through 12, it states, none is righteous, no, not one. None understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Wow, this was a big problem that I faced. It was a moment that the Lord began to break me of my pride and make me understand my sufficiency was not sufficiency on my own. I got on my knees and I truly repented to the Lord, putting my trust in Him and His sufficiency of His death and resurrection, and proclaimed Him and let Him know how unworthy I had been through my own sin. For the first time, I truly grieved of my sin. The kind of grief that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 7:10, which says, godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. All that I had gained in my own power was useless, and I did not know God at all, to be honest with you. It was just my own thinking through superficiality. As a child growing up in church, I carried around a false conversion, but in reality, I was spiritually bankrupt. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. This crushed every notion I had been thinking of myself and my own works gaining me salvation and a relationship with Christ. Now that Christ has called me out of the darkness into His marvelous light, my life has drastically changed. I no longer desire to walk in my own merit, but look to Christ as the example. I have become dependent on His sufficiency instead of mine. I see my sin for what it is instead of ignoring it. This is big to me, understanding this. Now that He has shown me clearly the understanding of my depravity, Galatians 2:20 guides me. As the passage states, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. My faith rests in Him and not me and Him alone. Having now been saved, I desire to cultivate habits that honor Him daily. I read the Word to gain a true understanding of what He desires of me to be a Christian. I also have become a man of prayer. I pray that my life will glorify him daily, and I pray for others that they may come to know Christ. Ephesians 4:1 has come to illustrate my ambition in life. This new ambition is, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. I want to praise the Lord and give him all the glory for my salvation instead of myself. Thank you, Lord. This is why I am here today to be baptized.
Well, Daryl, as hard as it is for all of us, we rejoice that the Lord brought you to the place of spiritual bankruptcy, where you really did understand your sin and that there was nothing you could do, no way you could approach a holy God. Because you have repented of your sins and because you have put your hope and trust solely in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Garrett Roybal, and I'm here tonight to share my testimony. One thing that comes to mind when describing my life before I came to Christ was how selfish I was. I dreaded the thought of helping others and acted like it was below me. All I wanted to do with my time was what I wanted to do. I didn't want anyone to bother me, and I didn't need anyone's help. Another clear way of describing me was worldly. From the speech that would come out of my mouth to the music and shows I would entertain myself with were filled with worldly ideas and passions. And none of this stuff would ever fulfill me. I would always be looking for the next thing to keep me busy or happy. When I couldn't find that next thing, I would get very anxious, angry, and annoyed. I would often isolate myself and become a ticking time bomb of emotions and stress. But having grown up at Countryside and in a sound Christian household, I was fully surrounded by sound doctrine and biblical truth. Because of this, and having all the head knowledge of the Bible and knowing the right things to say, I never really thought I needed to be born again. Or at least that thought never crossed my mind until I left for college in 2023. That's when I realized that I had been living a life of consistent, unrepentant sin and rebellion towards God. I was on a path to eternal destruction, and I knew it. But I loved my sin too much, and I did not want to submit to the authority of God. Romans 8:7-8 says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I was consistently drawn to idolatry and pride, not wanting anything to do with humbling myself before my Creator. Throughout my early years of college, I felt like I had no purpose and was just aimlessly wandering in life. I felt lost. Then the Holy Spirit opened my eyes after a really big family conflict that had greatly impacted my life during this time. I started seeing similarities between unbelieving family members and myself, and I was convicted on the fact that if my life doesn't change and I don't start living for Christ, that I would fall down the same lost and broken path. Luke 9:23 says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And in December of 2024, I gave my life to Christ. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart to realize the purpose and lostness I felt was because I have been an enemy of my Creator and a holy God, and that my purpose was to live for Christ and Christ alone, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Since coming to Christ, my life has been consistently full of sanctification. I can see my sin. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, convicts me every day. And looking back, there has been a tremendous amount of spiritual maturity and growth that can only be done with the help of God. My desire is to do all things for him, to put God's love and mercy on display, and to humble myself before him, because ultimately I want to follow Jesus' supreme example of humbleness and love by him coming down, the Creator, to live with creation and to die on the cross for me. and that is why I am here to be baptized.
Well, Garrett, we are so grateful that the Lord opened your eyes, that he allowed you to see your lostness, and he allowed you to understand the gospel in a faith-saving way, that you came to really embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Because that is your testimony, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, I'm Chelsea Hall. I grew up in a Christian environment and enjoyed going to church with my mom on Sundays. I knew the basic stories of the Bible, was baptized at 7 years old, and grew up thinking that as long as I believe that God exists, and if I was a nice person, that I would always be able to go to heaven and be forgiven of my sins. This thinking led to pride, covetousness, and selfishness. I was following Ephesians 2:3, gratifying the cravings of my flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. I was not following James 4:10, which says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." The truth was, I did not want God to lift me up. I wanted to be my own God and lift myself up. Proverbs 16:18 tells us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And I fell a lot. Throughout my life, I found myself questioning God's character and blame him when tragedy struck. I struggled with the pain of losing my friend to domestic violence and the guilt and shame of mine and another's assault. I hoped that my pain would justify my disobedience and keep a separation between God and me. Even in the midst of my sin, the Lord never stopped chasing after me. Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." These challenges help make me cling to Scripture like I never had before. Psalm 27:13 says, "I will remain confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living." God used people in my life to come alongside me and point me to Scripture in order for me to be led down the right path. Psalm 32:8 says, "He will instruct me and teach me in the way I should go. He will counsel me with his eye on me." As I have been going through Partners with my sister, one day during our study, I realized I did not understand the true gospel. It is not I who accepts Christ into my life, but Christ who accepts me into his family. We read Isaiah 59:2 and 4, which says, "My iniquities made separation between me and God. My sins had hid his face from me that he did not hear. No one enters justly. No one goes to law honestly." In that moment, I realized that he meant me. I knew the way I was living was wrong and was tired of fighting on my own. In that moment, I repented and truly put my faith in Christ. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." I now understand that none of this was my doing, but like Ephesians 2:8 says, is the gift of God. The Lord has blessed me with a wonderful husband who God uses to help me in my faith. I continue to practice not fighting battles on my own and recognizing that it is Christ who fights for me. Philippians 2:12-13 says, "Not only is in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both, to will and to work for his good pleasure." I want to be obedient and follow his commands, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Chelsea, because you have confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, because you have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Keith Hall, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home and was baptized when I was young, but I didn't understand the gospel and what it meant to truly follow Christ. In my early 20s, I struggled with sexual immorality, pride, neglecting God's word, and only praying when I wanted something. I claimed to be a Christian and said that Christ was my Lord, but I was following my flesh instead of him. Isaiah 29:13 says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." This was my life before Christ saved me. I consistently lied to myself to hold on to my sins, saying things like, "No one is perfect. Well, I'm going to sin anyway." And this one was my personal favorite. "All I have to do is ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive me because he loves me and he knows I love him." I had a wrong view of God and didn't understand how truly offensive my sin was to him. Throughout my life, God continued to show mercy and witness his gospel to me in many ways. I often listened to sermons about having a heart after God. Over time, he convicted my heart and mind with a simple truth. "Keith, you are called to live a holy life." Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." As a result of his continued mercy and continual presence of God's truth in my life, by my late 20s, I repented of my sins and turned away from sexual immorality and pride, no longer wanting my sins. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." I put my complete faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made on the cross. I thank God for his forgiveness and mercy, fully aware that I did not deserve it. The Lord has given me a new life. He has taken away my desire for sexual morality and broken my prideful heart. I am consistently attending church and studying God's word. I am married to my beautiful wife, Chelsea, and I am going through partners with my brother-in-law, Michael Hill. All glory goes to God for delivering me and giving me strength and teaching me to walk in holiness and self-control. And this is why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, Keith, we are grateful for God's work in your life. If you guys missed it, Keith is Chelsea's husband, who just was baptized a moment ago. Because God has opened your eyes to the truth of your sin, and because he's opened your eyes to the truth about Jesus Christ, and because you have put your faith completely and entirely in him, in his life, death, and resurrection, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening, everyone. My name is David, and I'm here to share my testimony. Before coming to Christ, I knew very well who he was. I grew up coming to Countryside, sitting under Tom's messages week after week, usually because my mom forced me to. Even though I sat in those very seats y'all are sitting in right now, I did not follow Christ personally. Deep down, I was only following myself, living in sin, and looking to please the desires of my flesh. Romans 3:23 says, "For all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And that was definitely me. I was a very selfish person who was chasing after the things of the world and the praise of man. When coming to Christ, it wasn't a matter of me hearing the gospel for the first time or hearing it in a new or unique way. Ultimately, it took me going through a breakup from a relationship where God gave me everything I thought I wanted, everything I was chasing after, and everything I thought would satisfy me. Although I realized it was everything but that, I was never satisfied and I was always left wanting more. Afterwards, I quickly realized that the things I was chasing in life were never going to satisfy me, and if anything, I was just building up more and more of God's wrath each and every day. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." After living in unrepentant sin for 20 years, I committed my life to Christ. Since coming to Christ, my life has changed dramatically. One verse I've been leaning on and meditating on is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Even though I'm still a sinner and still sin every day, I no longer look to please myself. I ask the Lord for forgiveness, and I do my best to honor him and not serve myself. My desires have completely changed from wanting to please myself to wanting to obey God. I've grown spiritually through Bible study daily and grown in my sanctification by attending Sunday morning services and our Roots College group ministry on Wednesday nights. Through that, the Lord has also blessed me with a group of friends full of believers that hold me accountable and want to grow in our walks with Christ. I also went through the Partners program with my uncle, who has played a significant role in my life by shepherding me. So thank you, Theo. As I've grown, I've noticed that I've had a zero tolerance for sin and I've struggled with before. But instead of falling into temptation, I run from it, I guard my heart and my eyes from it, and I pray that the Lord keeps my mind pure. I have a comfort and the ultimate sense of security knowing that God is with me throughout my walk. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." These verses have been comforting me while I battle against my flesh daily. Ultimately, I am grateful for God's grace and mercy he's bestowed upon me. And I know that I am undeserving of my salvation. I know that it was all through him and not by anything I ever did or could do to earn it. Like Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." For these reasons, I've come before you all to follow my Lord's instruction to be baptized. Thank you.
David, we rejoice in the lessons the Lord taught you, that you grew up in a setting where you were exposed to the gospel, where the seed was planted, the seed was watered. But your story reminds us that only God can cause it to grow, because he has produced the growth of the gospel in your heart, produced real repentance and faith in Christ. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Y'all, my name is Annabelle Peckman. I thought I was saved at the age of 5 by praying a sincere prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, not realizing that once a Christian is saved, they turn away from their sins and live completely committed to God and his word. Before I came to faith, I grew up in the conservative Christian Bible Belt, and my family and I went to a theologically sound church. My mom is a devoted Christian, and she provided my sister and I a wonderful Christian education. From this description, you could say that I had it all when it came to having a childhood with safe biblical standards. And mainly, this was accurate. However, around age 10, I grew depressed, insecure, and lonely. By the time I was 13, I had a rebellious heart where I was disrespectful towards my parents and watched movies, listened to music, and read books that were unhealthy for my soul. At age 14, this led to blindly allowing two secret addictions into my life, with one being pornography. After 6 months of living in addiction, I decided to pick up my Bible to try again having a quiet time with the Lord. I think I read a passage in the Bible and then prayed aloud a prayer that I wanted to know God. At this point, I was serious, but I did not know I was still living in sin. Then immediately after my prayer, the Holy Spirit brought to mind the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Immediately I wept in deep sorrow because I realized I was living in sin and against God. God makes it clear in his word that humanity is not good or perfect. I am so thankful that my works will never get me to heaven or are the basis of my faith. I was living in complete sin, and God chose to rescue me. God sent his only perfect son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live the perfect life that no human can ever achieve. Jesus Christ then died the most awful death because the Father placed all his wrath and every sin onto his son. Jesus Christ rose from his death 3 days later, so those who believe in him will be forgiven of their sins and live forever following God. I had to be convicted of my sinful life in order to see I really was not saved and needed his salvation. I repented of my sin and placed my trust in the work and sufficiency of Christ. When I confessed my sins to my mom that same day, I was amazed by her love and grace to forgive me and her help in discipling me. The Holy Spirit used her forgiveness to immediately break apart my hardened heart, build trust, and I'm really thankful because my mom and I have had a close relationship ever since. Praise God, he also freed me of both addictions that summer. I will be honest that my life after being saved has not been easy. The Lord has brought me and even my family through many trials that we could not have expected, especially in the first 6 years of being a Christian. The first personal trial specifically God used to begin showing me how much he loves me as his redeemed, forgiven child. I received a chronic condition, and I thought as a new Christian that God had punished me. I struggled with much self-hatred and eventually suicide ideation. While God was so loving in providing for my family and I and what we needed, he did not answer in our timing, nor always gave us the answers that I wanted. Yet God wanted to use and work in my tears, pain, and weaknesses to show me how much he loves me and how much I need him every day in my battle against sin. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 38, one of my favorite passages, describes this well. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Throughout this time, God refined me through suffering and turned my heart to him, teaching me to rely on him rather than on my own strength or on the things that would not fulfill. Over time, he revealed to me how to study his word, memorize scripture, and spend time with him. He also provided in his timing Christian resources, biblical accountability, and a church community in each season of my life to continue deepening my Christian walk. While I am thankful to the Lord that he has set me free from different trials, I am infinitely more thankful that God used trials to draw me nearer to himself. Jesus Christ is the savior of my story. My human efforts and performance have never and will never be able to amount to his never-ending love, pursuing and changing me. Another favorite verse for me that describes this is Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." If you are saved, you have the blessing of becoming more like Jesus Christ every day, and God using you for his kingdom because he wanted to. This truth took a while for me to receive because I thought it was too illogical. But God never does anything out of a begrudging obligation. He chooses us and walks with us through it all because he is loving and wants to change us for the glory of his name. Praise be to God, he saved me 9 years ago. So I am here to be baptized And I also stand here as a commitment to following him for the rest of my life.
Well, Annabelle, we are so grateful that, as you said, Jesus is the hero of your story because he has forgiven you of the guilt of your sin, putting it far from you as the east is from the west, and because he has broken the slavery of sin in your life. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Matthew Soto, and this is my testimony. I grew up Catholic, never truly knowing the gospel. Though I had some knowledge of God and religion, I did not understand the gravity of sin, my need for Christ, or the saving message of the gospel. I believed that as long as I prayed and asked God for things, he would provide them. As I got older, I pursued the things of the world and became enslaved to drugs, immorality, and living for myself. This bred a deep animosity towards God. As I watched my loved ones and myself struggle through life, it reached a point where I called my dad and told him, I don't believe there's a God. And how could a good God allow people he loves to suffer? My dad replied that one day I would surely regret saying that. Romans 3:10-12, there is none righteous, not even one. There is no one that understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. In 2020, the Lord began to expose my sin and show me the emptiness of the life I was living. The weight of it all pressed down on me. I had hurt people. I had despised God, and I had lived for myself my whole life. I could not see how I could ever be saved for what I had done, and that conviction led me to despair. That night, I planned to take my life, not thinking of my loved ones, but wanting the pain in my soul to stop, even if it meant selfishly hurting the ones I loved. But before I did, I felt compelled to cry out to God and beg him to save me. I told him that if he would give me one more day, I would give my life to him. Not longer after that, a friend shared the gospel with me, and he gave me hope, but though I had heard the truth, I still did not possess a saving faith in Jesus Christ. For the next several years, I continued to believe I was a Christian while living a lukewarm life. I thought that by my own efforts, I could please God, that as long as I tried to be good and live a moral life, he would accept me. But the Lord in his mercy would not let me remain there. I was reminded of the sobering words of Jesus in Matthew 7:21-23, where he warns that many will say to him, Lord, Lord, yet he will say to them, I never knew you. And in Mark 7:6, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. I wore the name of Christ and knew the right words, but my heart had never truly been surrendered to him. It was not until 2024, during the first session of partners at Trinity Bible Church, that the Lord used a dear friend named Julian to confront me. After I shared my testimony, Julian noticed I had not mentioned Christ at all. And asked whether I had truly surrendered my life to Jesus. He walked me through the gospel, my need for Christ, his death on the cross for sinners, and his resurrection from the dead. I went home convicted. I confessed to God that I had been living a lukewarm life while refusing to fully surrender to him. I cried out for mercy, asking him to save me and give me a new life through his son. I knew that left to myself, I would only continue deeper into sin. My only hope was in Jesus Christ. That day, God gave me new life through his son, nothing earned and nothing merited, but completely by grace. He bestowed the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Since that time, the Lord has completely changed the direction of my life. He has given me a love for Jesus and his word that I never had before. The things that once controlled me no longer have the same hold on my life. The Lord has freed me from my love of drugs, the world, and the practice of immorality, and through the Holy Spirit, he continues to transform my heart and desires. While I still battle sin daily, I now hate my sin rather than love it, and I find myself continually dependent upon Christ. And beyond the work that he has done in my own heart, I've been overwhelmed with joy watching him work in the hearts of those around me, seeing others come to know Christ, witnessing lives transformed by the same grace that saved me. It is more than I could have ever imagined. God has also granted me something I never expected, a new family in Christ. The community of believers he has placed me in has become a true family. People who walk alongside me, sharpen me, and remind me that I am no longer truly alone. He's given me a desire to know him, obey him, serve his people, and proclaim the gospel to others. And today, I cultivate my walk with God through prayer, reading and studying his word, fellowshipping with other believers, serving the local church, and living a life of repentance and faith. My life is no longer my own. By God's grace, I seek to love him with all my heart, soul, and mind, and to love my neighbor as myself. My hope is not in my works or my righteousness, but entirely upon Jesus Christ, who died for my sins and rose again. And if you are here today, carrying the weight of sin, shame, or emptiness of a life lived apart from God, let me offer you words of comfort. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's Matthew 11:28-30. And perhaps you hear that invitation, but feel disqualified by the weight of what you have done, as if your sin is too great and your failures too many. I want you to know that God's call to you is not despite your past. As Samuel said to the people of Israel, "Do not be afraid, you have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." 1 Samuel 12:20. God is not waiting for you to clean yourself up before you come to him. He is calling you to come as you are and find rest. My name is Matthew Soto, and I have found my rest in Jesus Christ. I desire to be baptized as an act of obedience to him and as a public testimony of the saving work he has done in my life. Thank you.
Well, Matthew, we are so grateful that the Lord opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel, that our hope is found in the one mediator, the only one who can bring us to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because your faith and your hope is now in him, the only Savior. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, what a wonderful evening. It's amazing to see what God does in the hearts and lives of those he saves. Well, I hope that if you're a believer, you have been encouraged. You've been reminded of God's goodness and grace in your own life, how he redeemed you. Maybe your story matched one of these you heard tonight and you were reminded of his grace toward you. But if you're here tonight and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, you've never repented of your sins and believed in him, you've heard the truth of the gospel. You've heard it 9 different ways. And I echo Matthew's call, ultimately our Lord's call, when he said, "Come unto me." My prayer for you is that before your head hits the pillow tonight, you'll find yourself alone with God and you'll cry out to him to change you, to save you, to forgive you through the work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so grateful that you are by nature a saving God, that you are by nature a rescuer, that you delight to save. And Father, we have heard your story in the stories we've heard tonight, the story of you as a redeemer, as a savior. And Lord, we thank you for your grace in each life. Lord, we pray tonight for Addie and Elsa, for Daryl, for Garrett, for Chelsea, for Keith, for David, for Annabelle and Matthew. Lord, thank you that you have saved them, that you have brought them to know you as Father. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue the work that you have begun in their lives. Use this church as an encouragement in their lives, each of us, as we interact with them. And Lord, I pray for us who are in Christ that you would fill our hearts new and in fresh ways with joy for what you have done for us. Lord, may we rejoice that we have come to know your grace, that we have come to experience the salvation that we've heard described tonight. Lord, fill our hearts with worship and praise, and may we open our mouths and share this message with others, even as happened in the lives of some who've shared their testimonies tonight. And Father, I also pray for those here who don't know you, who are in the darkness of their sin, who are enslaved by their sin, as we've even heard described tonight. Lord, help them to see that they will not be able to rescue themselves from sin's guilt or from its power. But Father, may they instead cry out to you and to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, if he will make them free, they will be free indeed. We pray that you would accomplish this even tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.